Good evening. Good to have you all here tonight. Week number, what week is this? Six? I lose track. We've had, the problem is we started with week 22. And so 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. All right, week six. We have 28, 29 left to go. And we will not have a scripture memory class next week because of our dual service, the potluck with Lost Pines. So September 7th will be our first Sunday in September, and then September 14th. We'll have two September Sunday nights with scripture memory. And then, by the way, for the rest of September and October, Sunday night will be at 6 o'clock hour, will be a poimenike prayer time. So if you've never seen one of those before, we'll do some hymn singing, of course, like we do on every Sunday night. And then we'll put the Google Earth up on the screen, and we'll start working our way through the different pastors and churches that we pray for around the country. And be pleased to do that leading up to the conference. Then after the conference, we will resume our rotational speakers. Bob the Son will be taking a rotation on Sunday nights, and then back to Glenn Carnegie for Hebrews, back to Danigan for 1 John, and we'll run the rotation after that. All right. Two verses for this week include 2 Corinthians 5:14 and Ephesians 5:2. Compelled by Christ's love is 2 Corinthians 5:14, and love and Jesus giving himself is Ephesians 5:2. Christopher, are you running our microphone tonight? Outstanding. All right. You want to go ahead and go first on the recitations then, or do you want to walk it to... All right. We're pretty thin tonight, so these recitations could go pretty quickly, and we'll take it from there. Who would like? Bob will go first. There's a good icebreaker.
On both of these, I added extra verses to get more of a context.
Okay.
So Ephesians, starting with 4:31 through 5:2. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us as a offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
And 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15.
Okay.
And the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose from the dead.
Close. For him who died and rose again on their behalf. He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And by the way, that's excellent. Thank you. That verse, I think, is the final nail in the coffin for limited atonement. Because he died for all. There's a group. And that all includes, not to be tricky about it, but all includes everybody. He died for all, so that they who live... Now, who's that? That's a smaller group. That's not all. But it's those that appropriate the value for which Christ died. That's right. So he died for all, so that those who live... It's a smaller group, okay? And I think this is a great passage for the unlimited atonement, the value for his death on the cross, versus the limited acceptance of that free gift that is only appropriated by those who place their faith in Christ. So anyway, it's a good verse, and if you ever discuss Calvinism with somebody that wants to tell you that he didn't die for all, in spite of what that says. All right.
Would you like to hear the verses in Russian?
The verse in Russian?
Yeah.
Okay. Which verse?
All of them. The ones I just quoted.
Okay. How will I know if you got it right or wrong?
I don't know.
I have a Russian text.
You have the Synodal?
And I can at least...
There you go. Russian Synodal.
Synodal?
Yeah.
All right, you going to do 14 and 15?
Sure.
Okay.
Ибо любов Христова об'ємлить нас, розсуждаючи так, якщо один умер за всіх, то все умерли, а Христос за всіх умер, щоб живучі уже не для себе жили, но для умершого за них і воскресшого.
That's it.
2 Corinthians 5, 14, 15.
How do you say this last word?
Воскресшего.
Okay.
The one who rose from the dead.
Воскресшего. Okay. And then Ephesians 5?
Starting from 4:31.
All right.
Ефесянам 4, 29, 5, 2. Всякое раздражение, и ярость, и гнев, и крик, и злоречие со всякою злобою да будут удалены от вас. Но будьте друг к другу добры, сострадательны, прощайте друг друга, как Бог во Христе простил вас. Итак, подражайте Богу, как чада возлюбленные, и живите в любви, как и Христос возлюбил нас и предал себя за нас в приношение и жертву Богу в благоухание приятное.
Okay. I would say very good in Russian. I don't know how to say very good in Russian. All right, that's outstanding. Russian Synodal Bible Translation. All right. Now, no pressure or anything, but I expect everybody else tonight is going to have to impress me like that. All right. Who else? Fallon, you got one? Okay. Microphone to Fallon, please.
5:1-2, though.
1 and 2 from Ephesians 5? Okay.
Okay. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, as an offering of sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma.
Okay.
2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf.
That's it. Outstanding. Okay. Good job. All right. Who else? Georgianne, have you been working on these? Okay.
2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of God controls us. Is that right?
The love of Christ.
Oh, sorry. For the love of Christ controls us.
Having
concluded. I had it.
Yep.
Having concluded what? What's yes. the this? It's those words. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died.
Amen. That's it.
And the other one is Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of Christ.
God,
as beloved children.
And walk?
And walk in love as Christ also loved you and gave himself up as an offering and a sacrifice. This one's hard for me.
Oh, you're so close. You got it.
A sacrifice.
To God.
To God.
Oh. As a fragrant aroma.
As a fragrant aroma.
Yep.
That's right. Sorry.
No. Thank you. Thank you. That's it. Let's see. Who else has been faithful each week? This has been a tough week, hasn't it? All right. Would you like to pass or would you like to go? Oh, I'm the same way. For the love of Christ controls us, we think. Yeah. Therefore all died. Now the benefit to that, therefore all died, guess what? That means, yeah, but you're good to go, because if the wages of sin is death, say, okay, I died. Because one died for all, therefore all died. All right, the penalty's been applied. I'm now free to walk in the newness of life. And there's a huge value in that. Yeah. So every accusation the devil wants to throw at us, we just say, yep, guilty as charged, but it was charged to his account. And that's a beautiful thing. Doug, did you put these to music? Okay. Do them next week or in 2 weeks. Okay. Week. Sure. All right. Any additional recitations before we look at next week's verses and start examining the doctrine surrounding each of those? Christopher, recitations? No? All right. Zoe was working on these too. That's why I added the New King James Version to each of those. All right. Our verses for next week, which is week 28. Yes, this is weeks 22 through 29. Basically 8 weeks worth. We've covered six of them so far. Two more weeks to go. Here we are. Jesus and his cross. Obviously, we're writing that on the top of every card. Jesus and his cross. 1/28/1. Sacrifice and love. Sacrifice and love. Now, you notice the ones last week all included love. And, in fact, for a couple of weeks now, we've had love. Week 26 was about love. Week 27 is about love. Week 28 and 29 are all about sacrifice. So here we go. Sacrifice and love is 1/28/1, and the verse is Colossians 2:20. Colossians 2:20. So let me add that here. There it is, and we'll give it a heading. Sacrifice and love. If you have died with Christ, what do you think about that if? Is it true? For us, it is true. That's right. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? That's 20 and 21. Oh, you know what? I'm looking at that wrong. It's Galatians 2:20. Oh, my goodness. Okay, my fault. Yeah. All right, let me delete that. And let's add Galatians 2:20. There's an easier one to memorize. This is going to make me cry. This was my mother's favorite verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So here's sacrifice and love from Galatians 2:20. Yeah, that's going to be a tough week. All right. Because this is my mother's absolute favorite verse. All right. Anyway, there is an argument that is being brought to bear here in Galatians. Paul talks about opposing Cephas to his face, talks about the hypocrisy of Peter, who used to eat with the Gentiles, but then when James and his crowd showed up, then Peter stopped doing that, and even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. And so then it goes on to discuss, obviously, the glories of grace. And then what a blessing we have to be in the church. Verse 16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. There has never been anyone that was ever justified by works, justified by law, not one. Even Jesus, who kept the law 100% and fulfilled the law 100%, it was by that law-keeping that was not the basis for his justification. All right? No one is justified by the law. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. In any event, there's a lot of different things here. Part of the problem of the Galatians is that they wanted to be saved by grace through faith, but then they wanted their ongoing sanctification after their salvation to once again revert back to a legalism. They wanted to revert back to a keeping of the law, as if, okay, that's not what saved me, but that's what's going to now sanctify me. That's now going to bear fruit. That's now going to lay up treasure in heaven. That's now going to cause God to look upon me with favor. All right, and so Paul then in chapter 3 calls them fools. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" And then he has one question for them. "This one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" All right, and so if that's how you started, and didn't even wait for their answer, obviously, he just moves on, right in verse 3. "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Are you really that stupid? You know, was it the flesh that saved you? Why do you think it's the flesh you're going to operate in for the keeping of the law after you're saved? No, it's all by grace through faith. It's all the Spirit. All right, well, it goes on, but this is part of the message in Galatians. So, once upon a time, you were going to teach Galatians. Remember that? Yeah. That was a long time ago. Is your study ready yet? All right, I won't hold you to that. But it's a good book. It's a very good book. And at some point, I need to assign it to one of our students and get that book taught, because there's just so much there in all these chapters. All right. "So I have been crucified with Christ." Isn't that great? Just like we said, you're dead. "If one died for all, therefore all died." Well, sign me up. I want to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. "I have been crucified with Christ." Positionally. It's all about positional truth. Remember, where were you when Adam sinned? In Adam. Where were you when Jesus died on the cross? In Christ. Okay? Understand the positional truth of who we are and where we are. And what we have, we're in Christ, we've died in Christ, we've been buried in Christ, we've been raised up in Christ. That's why in the water baptism this Saturday, I'm not going to dunk everybody under and leave them there. I'm going to bring them back up out of the water, because we have died in Christ, we've been buried in Christ, we've been raised up in Christ, and we're all going to recite Colossians chapter 3, "Therefore, since you have been raised up in Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." All right? It's a powerful truth. "So I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Remember that those who live no longer live for themselves. That's what we used to do as unbelievers. We were dead, and the only thing we could do was live for ourselves in our deadness. But now we are those who live. We no longer live for ourselves. The life that I live, I now live. I'm messing it up already. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." All right, we're going to have some fun with that verse. That's going to be a good verse. Our second verse, 1:28-2. "The sacrifice of Jesus himself." And it comes from Hebrews 9:6. Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 9:26. So let me add this one. Hebrews 9:26. And our snippet is "the sacrifice of Jesus himself." Copy that. "The sacrifice of Jesus himself." Hebrews 9:26. "Otherwise." All right. You start a verse with the word "otherwise." What do you think? I suspect there's stuff before that that we should understand. "Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Remember, he was the priest. He was also the offering. All right? He was the altar. He was the altar of his soul. Let's back up to understand this "otherwise." The chapter up to this point talks about the previous priesthood, what happens in the tabernacle, what happens in the temple, and how those things were cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Goes on to say in verse 23, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Remember, everything that happened on earth was copied after the pattern of the heavenly reality. All of the animal sacrifices was shadow doctrine. It was designed to teach truth. There was no value in the dead butchered animal other than what the truth that was communicated in that sacrifice. Verse 24 goes on to say, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know, when he accomplished his work on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two. But did he go inside there and do anything? He didn't even walk in. There was no point in walking in there. He was on the cross and he died on the cross. But that veil was rent in two. That veil was not where his blood was sprinkled. Okay? Remember what happens in the Old Testament. Remember what happens when they sacrifice the animals. And the smoke goes up as a sweet-smelling savor. And then the blood is caught. And then the blood is brought within. And it's brought within the holy place. And it's sprinkled on the veil. Okay? Sprinkled on the veil. And then one day a year, not only is it sprinkled within the veil, but then the priest goes within the veil. And he smears it. He anoints it. He messiahs it. Remember, messiah is a noun, but the verb means to anoint, to smear. And he smears the mercy seat with the blood. Blood not his own. And all of that is typology. All of that is shadow doctrine. And it's a reflection of the heavenly reality. Okay, what Hebrews tells us is the heavenly reality that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't go into the earthly replica to finish the work. Remember, the shedding of the blood is not the completion of the work. The blood has to be applied. Has to be applied in every passage. I don't care if you're talking about Passover. The blood was shed, but the blood was applied. It was smeared to the doorpost and the lintel. If the blood wasn't applied to the doorpost and the lintel, then the angel of death wouldn't pass over. The butchering of the animal didn't complete the work of faith. It was the application of that blood in the manner prescribed by the Lord. So Passover was doorpost and lintel. Old Testament sacrifice, it was sprinkling the veil. Okay? Well, when he died on the cross, that veil was rent in two. That's not what was going to be sprinkled by the blood of Christ. That was a copy, and all that was sprinkled by the blood of bulls, goats, and rams. Okay? None of which could accomplish the eternal salvation. Okay? So Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Jesus wasn't going to do this year after year after year after year. The high priest going in every single day of atonement. Here we go again. You know, once a year, he's going in again. He's going in again. Not so for Jesus. Once and for all. Once and for all. All right. So if the copies were cleansed with the animal blood, the heavenly things were cleansed with better sacrifices than these. Jesus Christ went into the heavenly places and he cleansed them. He cleansed them. Back up to verses 11 and 12, you see that. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, I believe this was one of his ascensions. He appeared as a high priest of the good things to come. He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. I love the reality we have in our Melchizedek priesthood. I love the reality we have of that instantaneous access to the throne of grace. Because we are royal priests in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. And we don't need to approach through a mediator. Christ is our mediator and we're in him. We're there. We have boldness to enter that holy place through the veil that is his flesh. All right. So we've got two verses for next week. We've got Galatians 2:20. We've got Hebrews 9:26. Any questions on either of those? No? Yeah, that's a system that goes on these cards. And yeah, there is a... let me find the diagram for that. Bible memory card. Here we go. I thought there was an illustration on that, but anyway, on the card, what the number is, the 1 means year 1, the 28 means week 28, and the number is either 1 or 2, because we're doing 2 verses per week. Okay? In the second year, we may do 3 verses a week or 4 verses a week. And you know, in the third year, you may do whatever. You may do entire passages. Okay? And so, in any event, that's what it represents. So, the top right-hand corner has 3 numbers with slashes. The first stands for the year. And so everything we're doing is as a 1 slash. We're not doing any, you know, this whole book is just year 1. And then the middle number refers to the week of the year. Right now this is week 28 in the 52-week thing. This is designed, it's a 52-week program. It does take 2 weeks off for review weeks. There's only 50 weeks of actual new verses to memorize. That's why you end up with 100 verses in the 52 weeks or the 50 weeks. And the third number is either 1 or 2, depending on whether it's the first verse or the second verse for the week. So that's what that's about. The ones we just finished recited for today, they were 27. 28. Yep. 1/28/1 and 1/28/2. They're not really necessary. We're not really sticking to those. I mean, if you just fill out 2 cards and put the verses on them, you're fine. Or you may want to write Jesus and his cross on top of every single one of these. And then the snippet that helps you remember. Love and Jesus giving himself, or compelled by Christ's love. Those snippets are designed to jog your memory and trigger in your mind what the verse is like there in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and so forth. Okay. Good questions. Well, it's early. We'll be getting earlier and earlier each week. Maybe next week I'll just got to prepare an actual Bible class and then teach that, since the recitations are going quicker and quicker. I have taken us to Daniel to look at the value for hiding the Word of God in your heart at even the youngest of ages. When the parents aren't around, the Scripture is there. I think there's other admonishments there for the value that you have. Psalm 119, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's a value to learning the Word of God, and not just academically, but actually the discipline of that memorization, of having it there. Paul encouraged Timothy in that regard with respect to the sacred scriptures, that from his childhood he knew the scriptures. You know, there's value in that. If the kid doesn't get saved till he's 5 or 6 or 7, do you wait that long before you start giving him Bible verses? No, I don't. I think you train him in the discipline. You train him even from the youngest of ages to come to church, sit in Sunday school, listen to the stories. Later on, once they do get saved, then there'll be a spiritual dynamic at work that will go back and retroactively put a spiritual understanding to what it is they've learned all this time. I think there's a power in planting that Word of God even at the youngest of ages. And I will always be convinced of that. Okay? All right, well, let me shut us down with prayer then. Thank you, Father, for tonight, for your faithfulness, for the opportunities we have to learn the Scriptures, Father. And we thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.